What a good song. What a good song. It's nice when you get older that you start paying attention to lyrics more. And sometimes they really speak to you. I invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I'm sorry I don't have the page for that. I meant to look, but I didn't. Somebody can shout it out, John chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple verses here. 789. And also want to encourage you, if you have your outline with you, keep that handy. We want to, I'm going to ask you to look at that at the end in some detail. And also, this is going to lead us into communion. And so the way that we'll do it, we're going to invite you to come to the front and to come down this aisle here. Okay, Bob will be standing here, and I'll be over here, and you'll take the bread and eat it. And come over here and take the cup and quick drink it, and then have the garbage can right there. And so those folks over here on this side, you can just go to the back and come down and come around that way. So hope that alleviates any anxiety that people hear. If you come a different way, we'll work with it, okay? It's all right. This is a day of new beginnings. I don't know. But if you're unable to come to the front, Bob and I will come and serve you. So want to just remain seated, and as we go out, then just kind of raise your hand. I don't want to miss anybody. Listen, if you want to yell out my name, we don't want anybody to miss communion. So. John chapter 1, John the Baptist has been preaching and teaching the people, getting everybody's hearts prepared for Jesus, okay? Talking that Messiah is coming. People thought that John the Baptist was Messiah, but he says, no, it's not me. But he had attracted some followers. He had his own disciples. And so we're going to start at verse 35 of John chapter 1. It says this, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. And turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. And it was about 4 p.m. The first question that Jesus asks in the Gospels, recorded in the Gospels, is, what do you want? Now, it's not being mean. It's not like, what do you guys want? You know, why are you following me sort of thing. It's, what do you want? What do you desire? What are you looking for? Okay? Now think about this for a minute. If Jesus was here this morning and asked you that question, what do you want? How would you respond? What is your aim? What is your purpose? What is your goal? As we enter into this new year, what do you want out of 2023? Now, if you're like a lot of people, you're going to say, I just want normal life again. Right? How many of us would say that? I want normal life again. But we're all going to kind of answer this question a little differently because we're at different stages in life. Some of the younger people in here are going to be thinking, you know what, I'm looking for a career. Or if you're in that middle age bracket, you're kind of saying, the career that I'm in now, is this something that I want to do for the rest of my life? Because I'm getting up there. Some of us want peace. What do I want in 2023? I want peace. I don't like the anxiety of dealing with illnesses or my family, illness in my family. We're worried about our kids and they're growing up and society. And we're worried about taking care of aging parents. It's just so up and down. I just want peace. That's what I want in 2023. Or security. Some of us looking at 2023 wanting more security, worried about our finances. Do I have enough to live on? Got inflation. Everybody's talking about inflation. Stock market's not doing well. Am I going to have enough for this year? Retired. living out my days. How am I going to live out my days? Stop and think. Just think about this question. What do you want for 2023? Let's remember what Jesus offered us in John chapter 10, verse 10. He said this, I came so that people could have a real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Can you imagine Jesus saying that for 2023? Some of us would go, yeah, right, more than I ever dreamed of. When the Bible talks about life, there are two types of life in the Bible. The first one is bios life. That is flesh, blood, breathing life. Okay, biological life that, you know, eventually dies out. But the other type of life that the Bible talks about is zoe life. And that is a spiritual life. That is life that is from God. It is divine and it is indestructible. It is the life that enables us to live fully like Jesus, like God has created us to live. Okay? It is that spiritual life. Zoe is, hang with me here, Zoe life is another kind of life that takes place among our regular tasks at life. All right? Going to work, paying bills, raising kids, caring for loved ones, trying to stay healthy, building friendships, dealing with conflict and illness and loss of loved ones, as well as responding to the social issues of our world. This Zoe life intermingles with our ordinary, everyday world. And if we go after that sort of life, if we pursue it with a passion, it takes the inner apathy that we sometimes have, the going through the motions, our natural self-centeredness, the Zoe life takes that and replaces it with a fresh aliveness of life, a fullness and abundance where now we are other-centered. We are thinking of others more than ourselves. It's a life of joy that reflects how God really created us to be. My wife Diana, this past week, gave away some really bad oven mitts. I know that's a change there, but they were horrible oven mitts, which is why she gave them away. But we had them for so long. I wonder what took her so long. I hated using those things. They're the big rubbery kind, big bulky rubbery. They should have been in the pathogen lab somewhere. It's kind of what I imagine every time I use those things. And you were risking your life when you pulled a 13 by 9 pan out of the oven. It was like, it was more, instead of grabbing, it was more press and hold. And it was risky to do that, okay? It's just really risky. Now, when we aren't living that Zoe life that God has for us, it's like using those bad oven mitts when you're baking, okay? It's insecure, it's shaky, it leaves you frustrated because you're not quite sure. It's not the best thing out there for removing this, right? It's that kind of life is not the best life that God intends for us to live. It is a whole lot harder. Jesus lived with this Zoe life that we're talking about. And he came with a good pair of oven mitts for us, okay, if I might say that. He came to earth to show us how to get a hold of this Zoe life. Now, author Trevor Hudson lists 5 inseparable threads from Jesus' life that give us a fuller glimpse of the abundant life that he makes possible to us. And what I want you to do as I go through these, I don't want you to be thinking, okay, he's done 5, he's got 4 to go, he's got 3 to go. No, here's what I want you to do. As I go through those, I want you to be thinking, which one jumps out at you? Which string, thread of this life jumps out at me? And let's just say that might be the Holy Spirit getting our attention, okay? So The Zoe life first is, number one is this. It's an intimate friendship with that boundless mystery that we call God. That's what Jesus had. You know, the best picture of God that we have in the Bible, I think, is the one that Jesus talks about when he told the parable of the prodigal son. The picture of the Father in there. And I shared this just a couple weeks ago. I mean, you know, most of you know the story about the son who was rebellious. He wishes his dad was dead, so he asked for his inheritance. He went off, spent the inheritance, and then he reluctantly comes back. And what is the father doing in that story? He is waiting for his son to come back. And when he comes back, he welcomes him, and he loves him, and he forgives him, and he throws a party for him. And now we can see why Jesus wanted to hang out with his heavenly Father so much, because that's the picture that he had of God. And so he spent many moments every day with him. We can imagine that Jesus engaged his heavenly Father all throughout the day with feelings that he had, with thoughts that are going through his mind, with his emotions, with decisions that he had to make. He was constantly conversing with his heavenly Father. Can you imagine yourself doing that? That's the friendship that we're talking about here. Can you imagine waking up in the morning and your first thought is of the God of the universe who thinks that you are worth $10 billion? It's just, he thinks so much of you. He calls you by name. The God of the universe calls you by name. Let's just think about that for a minute. He knows you individually. He loves you. He's constantly throughout your day trying to get your attention, whispering you, wooing you to hear what he has to say because he wants to give you some good advice on what to do next. It's an intimate friendship. That's what part of what the Zoe life is. Second thing, a Zoe life is a shared life in which we come to discover our individual calling in God's family. Jesus did not live life on his own. He wasn't a solo guy just traveling from city to city. He formed a family-like community, which were his disciples, right? Really closely with them. And they became his friends who then would reach out into the community and sharing the good news of God. Jesus knew that to grow close to God, everybody was going to need each other. And so we would need brothers and sisters who will encourage us, who will love us, who will challenge us when we need challenged. You don't live the life of Christianity on your own. All throughout Scripture, Christianity is done in community. That's why God created the church. And he called it, what did he call it? This is the family of God. This is the body made up of many parts. This is the body of believers. And so we need each other to be faithful Christians. And it's in this life together, in this community, that we discover our vocation. Now, I'm not talking about what you're doing for a living to pay the bills, but I'm talking about vocation as a personal calling from God where we use our spiritual gifts and talents and abilities to serve other people and to grow God's kingdom. God has a vocation for you in his kingdom. One of my joys as a pastor is when I see the light go on with people and they kind of go, this is so much fun. And people tell stories about going to the nursing home and spending time with old people and singing songs. And they just come away just being lit up. Like, God was just so, this is just so incredible. I get to do it. Or building wheelchair ramps. Or working with youth and children. Helping the little people to discover the joy of Jesus. Or just simply sewing things. Or comfort and joy team. Or writing letters of encouragement to people. Just something so simple, but people realize, you know what, this is something that I can do. And it's just a blessing. And when we discover that, when we work out that calling that God has put upon us and we join him, We join God in expanding his kingdom throughout the world. And let me tell you, when you discover that, you step back and you kind of go, this makes sense. Life has meaning and significance when you're building into other people for God's kingdom. That's a Zoe life. Here's the third one. It's a transformed life in which we are gradually changed into the compassionate likeness of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about how God equips people with certain abilities. And he says this, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That last line there, that is our goal as believers. Don't think that, oh, my goal, I'm a Christian, my goal is to get to heaven. That is not the goal. That's just thrown in. Our goal is to become like Jesus, to take on his character, to be transformed into his character. Now, you think about Jesus in the scriptures. Whenever Jesus met people, he accepted them unconditionally, but he never left them where they were. Right? He challenged them to face up to the truth of their own lives. He would say things like, hey, before you start judging people, examine the log in your own eye. Things like that. It means look inside. You ain't perfect either. Or he would say things like, he wouldn't let other people judge others and blame other people for the way that they turned out. He wouldn't let them, you know. He constantly affirmed those who lived gratefully rather than just taking things for granted. He wanted his followers to live in humility, to trust him, to trust God. He wanted people to love other people like he loved people, to serve people like he served people. And he wanted people to have joy like he had. One of the hallmarks of Jesus is compassion. Whenever you look at the life of Jesus, man, he was just totally compassionate. All throughout scripture, all throughout the gospel. And Jesus wants us to reflect God's compassion to the rest of the world. Now, he set a high standard. And there's part of us that just say, hey, I'm just not wired like that, right? That's not my thing. I can't help it. It's just the way that I am. Jesus would not accept that as an excuse. He would not. He invited us. Because he had people like that, right? This is what the disciples, the disciples, they were a messed up bunch. Probably more so than us, but I'm not going to go there. So how did he fix it? He surrendered, he invited people to surrender their lives to him. He said, come follow me. Come follow, do life the way that I do life. Follow me and my teachings. And when we do that, guess what? Our hearts begin to change. When we commit to that, our hearts begin to change, and Jesus transforms us into becoming more humble and more grateful and more loving and more compassionate and more joyful as well. A transformed life is a Zoe life. Here's the fourth one. Zoe life is a powerful life in which God acts with us. Hear that, which God acts with us, both for the good of our lives and for the common good. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he's writing about Jesus. And he said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Now, it's easy for us to say, Jesus was God. Of course he could do all those things. But then, in other parts of Acts, Luke is writing about how the disciples exhibited that same power. They went around doing the same thing and healing people and changing people's lives. And then the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us what? Wow! That Spirit, that Holy Spirit has now been given to us if we are followers of Jesus. And not only that, but we've heard our own stories, haven't we? Of about people overcoming addiction in their lives. We've heard stories about people getting involved in a ministry that they never imagined in a million years that I would be doing that. And here they are doing that sort of ministry, whatever. But we hear stories of people overcoming anxiety or dealing with a crisis situation. How many of us have heard or you have said yourself, I don't know how God got me through that. I don't know how I dealt with that. I mean, that was, and then we look back and we kind of go, yeah, I know. Power of God, that counts. That counts. You imagine linking up with this Holy Spirit power and being able to drop bad habits in your life? Or to being able to stop unhealthy thinking that's going on in your brain that has been there for years? Can you imagine receiving this energizing strength to get through a challenging situation, which some of you know, you're not looking at 2023 because I got to go through this. Or to muster up courage to share your faith, or to invite somebody to church, or to participate in a ministry that you never have before, but you're kind of drawn to it, but I don't think I can do it. Well, Zoe life is this life of power. I just turned 60 last month. I know that's unbelievable for a lot of you as you're saying, you just look 45. That's amazing. But it has been a shocker. I certainly feel it. I mean, you've heard my stories where I'll go hiking for a day and then it takes me 2 days to recover from hiking. But our bodies fall apart, don't they? Get an amen, right? Yeah. Here's some good news. Here's some good news. Number five, the Zoe life is an indestructible life that will never be snuffed out. Can I get an amen? Maybe not. Let me explain it a little further, all right? Here's what Jesus said in John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. This isn't fairy tale. I'm not reading from Mother Goose, okay? And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Words of Jesus. Now, we will die physically. This body is not going to last forever. But our existence will continue. Paul talks about new bodies in Scripture. Death is just kind of a, as I explained it during funerals, death is a portal that we walk through into the next phase of life if you are a follower of Jesus. Dallas Willard said this. He encouraged people. This is a good one to keep. This is why you want to keep these outlines. He encouraged people to take time each day to look in the mirror and repeat aloud, I am an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. You know what? Let's say that together. Okay? On your outline, let's say that together. I forgot to put it on the screen, so let's just say it together. Ready? I am an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. Now, for those of us who are getting up in age, for those of us who have been told and who believe ourselves that our best years are behind us, for those of us who have the understanding, you know what, this is my last phase of life, guess what? Not. We live with this idea that we are going to exist forever. That should energize us for a little bit. And the good news is that we're not going to exist forever in these bodies. We get new bodies. That's the Zoe life there, okay? That's the Zoe life. That we have an indestructible life that will never be snuffed out. And here's the thing. God has created us in a way that this Zoe life is our heart's deepest desire. This is our true desire. Not to have peace or security or to make money or to be happy. This is our desire. We yearn. God has stamped it on our hearts. We yearn for intimacy. We yearn for belonging and to have significance. We long for transformation. We long. We come to the point where we don't like. I keep doing that same thing over and over. Oh, why? That's why we long for transformation, to be like Jesus. We long for power. We long for eternity because God has stamped it on our hearts. But here's the deal. This Zoe life doesn't just happen. Okay? You don't just live on autopilot and guess what? You experience all of this. We must become seekers of God. We must go after it, just like the two disciples in our story. And so Jesus asks each one of us, what are you looking for? I want to encourage you to look over those five threads. And which one of those jumps out at you? I'll tell you what, for me, it was number three, to be transformed. Because, and here's when it hit me, over the past couple weeks, one of the stars of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Franco Harris, passed away. He was an icon in the 70s and after that. He was just a great, great football player. And so all these accolades started coming in about Franco Harris. And one of the things that people said over and over and over again about Franco was that the football world just didn't lose a great football player. They lost a great human being. The world lost a great human being. And people would talk about endless stories about just an overall nice guy that he was. And it occurred to me as I watched some of those stories, it occurred to me this. I said, you know what? I want to be like Franco. When I die, I want people to say that about me. That just have these endless stories where people just say, what a nice guy. What a nice human being. Now, one of the marks of Jesus we talked about is compassion. And I realize that is kind of low on my chart. I want to be more compassionate. And so I'm asking you to do the same thing that I did. I'm going to be shooting for number three. Right? As you enter 2023, what are you looking for in your relationship with God? What jumps out from you on that list? Perhaps it's a desire for a deeper intimacy with God or to have a stronger connection to God's family. Or maybe it's to develop a clearer sense of your personal vocation within the family of God. Maybe it's to experience a deeper transformation of your personal character. Or it's to receive God's power to overcome a personal temptation that you've been dealing with. Or maybe it's to discern how best you can contribute to the common good. Or to grow in your confidence in God's never-ending love as you grow older. Whatever it is, as we prepare to take communion, I want you to be thinking about that. We have lots of downtime during this, you know. Talk to God about it. Wrestle with it. And ask yourself, all right, how can I follow the longing of my heart here with a greater openness and a greater trust that God will bring this about? Let me give you some time of silence to think about this and to prepare for communion. Would you just bow your heads, please? Almighty God, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for not leaving us as we are. We thank you for Jesus and his example of compassion, his example of living in community, his example of intimate relationship with his heavenly Father, his example of allowing you to work through him, using your power for good in his community. God, we thank you for the resurrection, which signals to us that there is more than just what we see in this world. We thank you for Jesus and his example of love and going to the cross so that we might have life, whose body was broken on the way to the cross and on the cross, whose blood was shed. The scripture says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So God, we thank you for all of these things. And we pray that we would not just live life as usual, but that we might work with your Holy Spirit to becoming more like Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen.